Psalm 119, we come to verses 33 through to 40. I especially want to highlight the verse 37 as a key verse, a central verse in the section. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. We come to the hey section. Each verse begins with a word that commences with the Hebrew letter hey. This is an important room in this 22-roomed house. We could call this room the room of light, the room of beholding and looking, because God wants us to see. We can't help but see. We can't help but look. But what are we looking at? What are we seeing? Are we seeing what God wants us to see? Are we looking at what the Lord wants to show us? So those are kind of questions that we ask in this room. The Lord wants us to see right. Very often the prophets were asked a question by God whenever he showed them visions. What seest thou? What are you looking at? God asks us that question. What do you see? What are you looking at? The words that commence these verses, seven of them are verbs. Seven verbs that begin with the letter he. The last word, verse 40, that begins with the letter he, is the word behold. Behold. And that gives an idea of the meaning of the letter. Behold, hey, look, come and see, consider. So this is a word that causes us to think about seeing, and such a seeing as causes you to live, to be blessed. And that's the seeing that God wants us to have in our life, a seeing that makes us live. You see, there's a seeing that makes you die. There's a looking at things that causes death and destruction. But God wants us to look at things that cause life, cause us to live. To see aright is what God wants us to know then and experience. Now, so if the last letter, Dalet, made us think about the door, then I think the letter He will make us think about the windows in the house. This is the window room. The room for looking and seeing. And we need to think about Eyegate congregation very often. Because the eyes are the windows of the soul. But what goes in is the question. What are we letting in? And so you see the central verse then, the significance of it. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Let not that be the hay in my life. Beholding vanity. Turn away mine eyes. A window has two functions. It first of all has to let the light in. Can't see without light. We need light. But a window is also for looking out of, looking through, to seeing beyond, seeing outside the house. So we need light. A window is useless without light. God is light. You see, we can't see aright without the Lord. Just so we can't see without the sun. So you know, congregation, we can't see without the Lord. You need the Lord to see aright. He is our light and our salvation. You can't be saved without the light. You can't be saved without seeing. That's why the psalmist uses that order. He's my light. He's my salvation. He first becomes my light so that I can see. And being able to see, I can look to him and be saved. So that's the order. So we need the Lord to be our light. He's a saving light. And he shines upon this whole house, but he especially shines upon this room. He bears light into it. Now you'll notice the second word in this section. It is the Lord's name. Now, the second word in the Hebrew, that is. It's the fourth word here in our English. We have the verb that begins with the he letter, but then we have the Lord's name. Now, as I said, the psalmist carefully uses the Lord's name. And he puts it at the very start of this section, right at the door. Because we need him to illuminate the whole room, to light it all up. The Lord is my light. He's the one who enables us to behold, to see. He's the one who enables us to look through our eyes, to see what we ought to see. So he's here at the very start, illuminating the whole room. And you know the name Jehovah? This name right here at the door? The interesting thing about that name is there are four letters in it. Two of those letters are He. He has two of these letters. He, you have it there on top of the section. He's two of those letters in his name. He's full of light. We can't see without him. He is the one who gives us the whole window on the creation and on redemption. Our Jehovah God, the Lord is our light. He's the one that enables us to see. He sees perfectly himself. And we cannot see without him. No seeing without God's creative power, without God's regenerating grace. You remember the first creative word in Genesis. What was the first creative word? What did it bring? Light. God said, "Light be." And light was. That's the very start. The light has to be there at the very start. God scattering the darkness with his light, bringing light into the world. Light is from God. It originates with his word. He speaks light. And the light is God himself, and the light is God's revelation of himself in the word. And it is interesting that in that little section where Moses describes the creation of light, he uses the word five times. In Genesis 1, verses 3 through to 5. And you know that five makes us think of grace. The fifth letter in the Hebrew alphabet is He. And that represents the number five in the Hebrew. So God's light is a gracious light. And his light is a saving light. And we can't be saved without his light, just as we can't be saved without his grace. And when his light comes, grace comes. And when grace comes, salvation comes. All of God. All from God. So he's the light giver and the grace giver. Remember how the Lord said, "You didn't get the land by your possession, by your sword. You didn't get it by your strength. You didn't get it by your right hand. You didn't get it by your own ability. How did you get it? You got it by his arm, his right hand. But not by that alone. You got it by the light of his countenance. You can't be saved without his light. You can't be saved without his word. You can't be saved without the illumination of the Holy Spirit." And we see this in our salvation and in our Savior Jesus Christ. Because as God commanded the light to shine out of darkness in the first creation, so he shined in our hearts in the new creation. When he made us new creatures in Christ. Now the work isn't finished yet. But he's given that first word of grace to us. Let there be light in that heart. That has happened if we're Christians. We're saved. The light has come. We belong to the Lord. We're the new creation. And it's going to be wonderful whenever the Lord finishes it. So we're thinking about light. We're thinking about windows. And we need the light. And Jesus said, "I am the light of the world," and he gives us the light of his word. And so we need the Lord to be our teacher. That's what I'm saying. Do you notice how this section begins? What's the first verb there? Teach me, O Lord. You're the light. I need to be taught by you. You need to show me. All Christians are taught of the Lord. If you're not taught of the Lord, you're not a Christian. Because a person becomes a Christian when he begins to be taught of the Lord. He can't be saved without that. So we can know this of a certainty about all Christians. They've all been taught of God. And that's what the Bible says. All your children shall be taught of the Lord. Every one. There's no exceptions. The Lord is our teacher. We're Christians because the Lord has taught us. The Lord has given us the light. We can see because he's taught us. And so we have our teacher in the Lord who is our light. And he has taught us in order to be saved. But you know, we don't know everything yet. And we need more teaching. And we need the Lord to continue teaching us. And that's what this section is about. Lord, teach me. Continue to teach me. We don't know perfectly. Our knowledge is limited. We have the light of God. We have the light of the Word. And we need the Lord to keep on teaching us. And so this is one of the things you're going to ask a lot in this room. Lord, teach me. Help me to see. Help me to know your will. And so he gives us word to do that. He gives us under shepherds to help in that. But it really is, at the end of the day, it's the Lord who gets into the window of your heart. Only the Lord. And so in this room, we learn to have fellowship with our teacher. And your teacher is the Lord. And you have to ask him to be your teacher, to teach you. And you look out the window of your heart to your teacher and you pray, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. You know, Christians were first called that at Antioch. And that was a name that kind of stuck with us. But you know, before that, before they were known as Christians, God's people were known as followers of the way. They were a people of the way. And that's what this praying is about. Lord, teach me the way of thy statutes. Christians are on the way. They're interested in the way of the Lord. Now, this isn't a new way to David. He's not looking to be introduced to it. He's already on it. But he wants to keep God's way. He wants to continue on it. He wants to walk on it right. And he knows he can't do that without teaching, without the Lord's light. And so he prays. And you ought to want to be on the way of God's statutes. And you ought to want to keep it to the end. You see how he says, I'll keep it on to the end. He wants to keep it to the end. He doesn't just want to be on and off the way. He's on the way, but he wants to continue on the way. He wants to continue on the way to the end. Now, what does that mean, to the end? Well, that's a very important word in the Bible, the end. You can study it. The end. He that shall endure unto the end shall be saved, the Bible says. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. To the very end. To him will I give power over the nations. It's to the end of our lives. It's to the end of the age. To the end of the world. To the end of time. To the very end. Until the world to come and the new age enters. In all its fullness. We're in the new age now through grace because we're the new creation. But we haven't entered into it in all its fullness yet. We have a taste of the powers of the world to come in our experience. We're in the age now, but we're not fully in it. We haven't got the whole eschatos yet, the whole end. But we have to be faithful unto it, to the end. And David wants to walk through that to the very end. But you can't do that, congregation, without the Lord as your teacher, instructing you along the way, keeping giving to you the light. And so every day and all our days, but we need the Lord's teaching. And they are blessed that are daily and regularly taught of God. And so we come to God's house this morning. But we come not just to praise God. We also come for the word, don't we? Because God's house is not only a house of praise, it's a house of teaching. And so I hope you prayed this morning, coming to God's house along the way. Teach me, O Lord. Teach me. You should pray that every Lord's Day morning. Indeed, before every meeting. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. But you know, teaching's not enough. You see how the psalmist goes on here, verse 34. Give me understanding. Now, understanding is deeper. Understanding is what goes in. Understanding is the working in the mind and in the heart. Teaching is more setting it before you, laying it out, showing it to you. But are you taking it in? Is it getting into your heart? Are you understanding? Is it working in your mind? Is it turning around there and cleansing and purifying your heart? Is it giving you understanding? Is it imparting to you wisdom? Give me understanding and I'll keep thy law. Yeah, I'll observe it with my whole heart. So understanding is deeper. A teacher can give the lessons. You know, I can give you lessons. I can be a teacher. But I cannot give you understanding. Only God can do that. And so we read the text. We point out the text. We expound the text. We even apply the text. But the pupil might be as a beast. You know what a beast is? Beast doesn't understand God's word. That's why those leaders that come up out of the earth are called beasts. I was as a beast before them. They don't listen to God. They're not getting understanding from the word. But a Christian should not be a beast. A Christian has to have understanding. And so, Lord, give me understanding. Get it into my heart so that I'll be obedient. You remember how the Lord Jesus said to the Jews, search the scriptures. They did do that. They had the Bible. They read it. They probably read it more than us. They heard it more than us, maybe. They knew the Bible. They were taught the Bible. They had the teachers who expounded the Bible. But they weren't searching it in the right way. They were not coming to the teaching in the right way. Because they were rejecting Christ, you see. That was the problem. They rejected Christ. I mean, you reject Christ, you reject the light. And it doesn't matter how much of the Bible you get into. If you reject Christ, there's no light. Just a text. Not doing anything. We need Christ. The light. We have to have the Lord Jesus in our light. You don't get understanding except through the acceptance of Christ and bringing Christ to all the scriptures, all the Old Testament scriptures as well as the New Testament scriptures. It's Christ who gives us understanding. So we have to come to him, to the Lord Jesus, and we have to come in the right way. We have to come humbly. We have to come meekly. We have to come with repentance and faith. We have to come beating upon our own breast and confessing our sins and looking to the Lord for his teaching and instruction. And he gives us understanding. Do you remember how he showed us this after his resurrection? He came to his apostles. Then opened he their understanding. They had the teaching for 3 years. But a lot they didn't understand. What changed them? So they could write all these epistles and go out there and give the whole theology of the Old Testament scriptures in the right light. What changed them? He opened their understanding. That's what changed them. That they might understand the scriptures. That's the only thing that will make you understand the Old Testament. Is whenever you come to Christ and he shines the light of his glory in upon your mind. Give me understanding. I want to understand your word, Lord. I don't just want to be able to quote book, chapter, and verse here and there out of context. I want to have understanding of the whole biblical theology of Scripture. Only the Lord can give you that. Give understanding unto me, Lord. And so that's what he says here. So this is the creation of a window, the opening of a window, and it reaches into the heart and mind where this goes on with the Lord's light. Now, of course, we have to delight in the word, don't we? And that's what he says there in verse 35. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. I delight, he says. You know, see, no one asks for teaching and for understanding about God's word unless there's a delight and a joy in God's word. Who ever prayed, Lord, help me to walk on nails? Or help me to walk on burning coals of fire? I mean, if that's what you look at the word like, as a pile of nails, uninteresting, hurting, boring, grievous, what's the point in asking for teaching and understanding? You have to have a delight in the word. You have to want to be taught it. You have to want to understand it. You have to want to come out to God's house to hear it. You have to want to read it and search it. There has to be a taste bud for the word. Otherwise, there's no point in praying this. But why would you pray it if you have no delight in the word? Would you pray, give me understanding so I can keep that which I hate? No, nobody ever prays like that. But because God's word is sweet to his people, they can sincerely pray for understanding and teaching. They really want it. And I trust and hope that you really want it. Make me to go in verse 35. That's one verb, make me to go. Cause me to tread. It's literally to tread, to walk in the path. Now, it's not that David hates that path and God must force him. No, he loves the path, you see. He loves the path, but he needs help to walk in it. He needs guidance how to walk in it. He needs wisdom from above. And so he says, Lord, make me to go. He's praying for help to be consistent in God's ways. Make me to go. Keep me on the path. Keep teaching me. Keep giving me understanding. Keep giving me the light, Lord. Guide me. Guide my steps in the path, in your light, the light of your word. Now, in verses 36 through to 37, David speaks about some of the contradictions that are within him. Verse 36 and 37, incline mine ear unto thy testimonies, not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Now, he's confessing here that walking in godliness is a battle. It's a battle. It's not easy. He delights in the word. He delights in the law of God. He wants to walk in the way. But there's a confession here. Lord, turn away my eyes from vanity. Sometimes my eyes are wanting to look somewhere else. Sometimes I'm wanting to look at other windows. He's praying about contradictions within him. It reminds me of the Apostle Paul. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I'm not perfect yet. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. And this is coming out here in David. Wretched man that I am. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Don't let me incline to covetousness, Lord. Christians have a struggle, you know, at times in this world. And you know why we have a struggle? Because we still have a remaining sin nature. But that's not the only reason. We also have a struggle because, you see, the devil, he has other windows all about the place. And he wants us to look into them. Not into this window, not into the window of the word. He wants to turn our eyes to other things so that we'll turn away from the word. And David doesn't want that. I want to be looking through the window of the word. I want teaching and understanding in the word. I want you to make my path to tread in the ways of your word. But there are these other windows the devil points out. And he's praying about them. Oh, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. David has a struggle. Covetousness and vanity are temptations in his life. You remember how the devil tried this with the Lord Jesus? What did the devil do to the Lord Jesus? He gave him a window. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. He put a window before him. Look into this window, Jesus. All of that I'll give you. Just look in there through that window. Everything there can be yours. Didn't catch Jesus out. You see, he had no sin nature. We do. He catches us out because we have a sin nature in here. We have to pray this. The devil puts windows before us. Now, looking through a window involves two things. First of all, it involves the eyes. You can't look without the eyes. It's your eyes that go to the window to look out. And you'll notice that the eyes are mentioned here. Turn away mine eyes. There can be a wrong use of the eyes, brethren and sisters, and we have to guard against that in the Christian life. A wrong use of the eyes. What are we looking at? Are we looking at vain things? Turn away my eyes from beholding vain things. That could be vain things that maybe are not positively sinful. You know, a waste of your time. You should be better looking into the Word than looking at that. But sometimes they can be positively sinful things, positively wicked things. And definitely you shouldn't be doing that. Turn away my eyes, Lord, from beholding those kind of things. Block up those windows in my life. But it doesn't only involve the eyes, brothers and sisters. You don't just look with your eyes. You want to look with your heart. That's the problem. The heart wants to look. That's the danger. So we don't have an eye problem. We have a heart problem. And David here says, verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies. I want you to give me an inclination to your word. Not an inclination to the devil's windows. I want an inclination to the word, Lord. Incline my heart to your word so that I can bring my eyes to look there where they should be looking. Take away this heart that wants to look at the devil's windows. So it's about the heart, isn't it? So we have to pray about our heart. Lord, incline my heart to your word. You see, that's why it didn't work with Jesus, the windows. He had a pure heart. He had not a heart that was any way in danger of inclining to that way. He was utterly sinless, perfectly sinless. Perfectly inclined to the window of the Word, his Father's Word. He was never going to look away from that. No way. But it's a battle for us at times. You know, there's a couple of things on the table. The Bible's there. Where does the heart go? Where do the eyes go? What does it want? Is it the word? Incline my heart to your word, Lord. I want that. So the devil's working hard at forming windows to draw us to look through. Windows of covetousness and vanity. Windows that will destroy and ruin us and deaden us. And David doesn't want that. I mean, he's always praying. Even here he prays, quicken me, I want to be quickened, Lord. And don't look through the devil's windows. That'll deaden you. He knows where he has to look to be quickened. Into the window of the Word. And we need the Word. David knows about this battle with the eyes. You remember how he one evening went out onto the roof of his house and he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. Now, I don't want you to think Bathsheba was all innocent. That's not what the Lord is telling us. She wasn't all innocent, I can tell you. She knew what she was doing. That doesn't excuse what David did. The devil gave the window through Bathsheba. But David looked. He looked. And it really ruined his life. It was never the same after that. Job even, and he was a righteous man on all the earth, and there's nobody like him, but he had to make a covenant with his eyes. I won't look upon a maid.
I mean, even that man had to make a covenant with that. He had to remember the covenant of God. He had to remember the covenant of grace that involved the promise concerning his eyes. I'll not look upon that which is not. I am only to look upon the Lord, his light, his word. And to keep it on to the end, this is what we need. And so you'll notice how David prays, incline my eyes, heart, turn away mine eyes. So he knows these contradictions within him. And he's asking the Lord to give him a right inclination, a right heart, to actually turn away his heart to the things of God and to God's word. Brothers and sisters, that's the only answer for us. This is the secret of godliness in our lives, to have a heart utterly inclined to the word. How does God make us godly? That's the only way. In his light, in his word, through his revelation. But we have to have a heart inclined to it and eyes to look into it. Now, David doesn't say, I will incline. Lord, you have to do it. We all have to ask the Lord to give us a love for his word. We all have to ask the Lord to give us an appetite. And he doesn't say, I will turn my eyes. He says, Lord, thou thyself must do it. You see, to break free, we need the Savior. To break free and have the liberty of the saints, we need the Lord to break in our life. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the resurrection power of Jesus Christ in our experience daily. Daily. It's only our Savior can set us free. It's only our Redeemer who can give us the liberty. So Lord, incline my heart. I'm looking to you, Jesus, in all your resurrection power to work in my heart. We need to pray to our dear Savior. We need the power of God's kingdom to come into us so we be the kind of citizens that we ought to be in that kingdom. And that power only comes to us through our head, who was raised from the dead in the mighty divine power of God. And so we can only get grace to turn away from Satan's windows through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need then the Lord to pray to keep us from the way of these windows. But as Christians in sanctification, brethren and sisters, you know that we also have to cooperate with God. Now, we don't cooperate with God in justification. We can't do that. We're dead. But in our sanctification, it's different. We have to do things. We have to cooperate with God. And so, yes, while we turn away our eyes, Lord, from beholding vanity, you help us in this wicked thing. We also have to resolve. We also have to determine. And so, David, who said this, turn away mine eyes. He also said in another psalm, I will set no wicked thing before me. That's the same man. I'm not going to put anything that's wicked before my eyes. I'm going to get it out of the way. I'm going to get it off sight. That's the best thing of all, isn't it? There's no point in you having it there and then, oh Lord, turn away my eyes. No, you have to get rid of it. It has to go out. I'm not going to set it before me, Lord. I'm not going to have it come up in the path that I'm going along. So we have to cooperate. We have to do our part too. And so people of God, and the time has gone here really, but the lesson for you today is very simple. Get to the window of God's testimonies. Get to the window of the word. Keep looking into the window of the word. Come to the Lord to walk in the light of the Lord. To see light in his light. To see his word in the light of his own presence by his Holy Spirit. That's what we need. And so, child of God, I want that to be the lesson in this section for you. All the world's windows are really darkness. They bring death. But God's window brings the light of life, and it brings the life of light. God's windows. And we have the word of God. What did Peter say? A sure word of prophecy, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. You do well that you give heed unto it. And so we must Come to the word, brethren and sisters.
O house of Jacob, the prophet says, come ye, come ye, come us, let us, this little congregation in Guildford, come, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord, in the light of the word. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, if we walk in the light of the word, we'll have the wonderful fellowship, and the blood of Christ will keep on washing us of our sins. That's what we need. That's what we want. So come, come, let us walk into the light of the Lord. Look into the windows that empower us, the windows of Holy Scripture. And how do the Scriptures empower us? Chiefly because we see Christ. We see our wonderful Savior. We see him looking into the window of the Word, the glory of the Lord, and in seeing the Lord Jesus, it changes us. You know, there's nothing will change you like a sight of Christ in the Bible. Just seeing the Redeemer, it's so transforming. It's so purifying. It's so wonderful just to see Christ. Christ in all the Scriptures. And that's why it's purifying and transforming. So Christ is in the window of the Word. If only we have a heart to look, a heart to keep on looking, and eyes to keep on seeing. You remember the Song of Solomon? What did the bride say concerning her beloved? Ah, behold, he's looking forth at the windows. He's showing himself at the lattice. At the lattice. And that bride is looking out. And she can see him. Through the lattice. Through the window. As he shows himself. And she feels like skipping and jumping and leaping. Because she sees him. Oh, people of God. Let us come to the window. The lattice of the Old Testament Scriptures. Unto the big open windows of the New Testament Scriptures. And let the light of the countenance of Jesus Christ shine in upon us. And that'll change you. We need to see the Lord every Sabbath. That's why we preach Christ. We're gospel preachers. We preach Christ, him crucified.